I'll use the mic in a minute, but I've got to put on some stuff first. I'm not advertising for anyone here, but the message is on the tools of the trade and the honor of God. So the first thing I have to do is put on my shirt. And we wear shirts, you know, to advertise who we are as workers or Christians or whatever. But, so I've got to put this on first. And you know what's the color? Safety and all that stuff. So.
I'm not going to tell you. And we can attest they do good work.
Yeah.
You can't do that yourself, huh?
No. Help us.
They're working?
Yes.
What's the number say on that, Steve?
One.
Okay.
So, I also want to mention that I have some scripture. Obviously, that's why we're here, right? And I have people who are going to help me. You might not get to all of it, but so if I don't call on you or call on the scripture you have, I'm not shunning you. It's just that maybe we're running out of time. It's hard to take a ten week thing and put it into 45 minutes, but it's only three pages, Reg. It's about the same as yours, so
yeah.
We'll be out of here by noon.
That could be a bad sign.
I want to talk first of all about the tools of the trade. When you hear that term, lots of times you think, well, maybe you don't think of it this way, but I looked it up and I never really thought of it this way, but it says it's a term generally used in bankruptcy law to determine what property, skills, devices, equipment, gadgets that a person would commonly use for the purpose of making a living and do your job properly and purposely. Bag of tricks. And it's not what you wear for clothes necessarily, but it's what you wear for tools. We have construction workers, teachers, doctors, lawyers, military people. They all have certain things, whether it's a briefcase, a hard hat, a tool belt, whatever it may be. We all have a tool of the trade that we use. Along with this could include ways to accomplish things, how to, and wisdom. So that all kind of fits into this, the tools of the trade. So I've asked Dan to help me out. He has a little business called Inman Tree Services. Is that what it is?
Yes.
And he has some tools because he climbs. And some of you have seen him climb. And I've worked with him, and it's pretty interesting to watch what he does. So I'm going to have him just kind of like help me take out the stuff out of the duffel bag. And I'm going to kind of explain it, but he might have a few pointers to help out too. So Dan, if you want to open that up, that bag there, and just start pulling stuff out.
This one?
Yeah. It's not the real thing, but
that's normal.
Steel-toed boots, and they have special boots. Those aren't the fancy ones, but they have special boots with, you know, they go higher to protect your ankles and all that. The helmet with the mask. And the first time I used this, because I've never used this before, was in the winter, and I was working, and I spit. It doesn't work that good. So I had to get used to it. And then the other day I put it in the truck and some of the kids are in there and they bent the, you know, protective thing. The chainsaw is not going to, no, that's not going to stop the chainsaw. But it does protect your eyes. And you've got your ear protection. These are special gloves that grip so that if you are up in a tree and you're hanging on a limb, and you can hold on. They won't slip. If you want to add anything to you can. Chaps, when I went to UNH, and we never used chaps. So when I went to UNA, so the forestry school, they gave us these little things like this, about maybe 6 inches wide and 8 or 10 inches long, and just like little, not plastic, but little things that protected your thigh. And then they came up with the chaps, which protect your whole leg. And not sure what else we got in that bag, but
protection from the chains.
Yeah, protect you from this thing here. You can explain those, Dan.
These are tree spikes, I guess you can call. You just put them on your feet here. So
you after you put your chaps and your boots on.
And it helps you climb the tree.
One thing I noticed today on these, when I was putting them in the truck, and I never noticed before, that this is covered. And you take those off when you climb?
Yes.
So those are covered. Now maybe you could take one off so they can see what that looks like. And the reason they're covered when they're not being used is so you don't reach into the bag and rip your hand apart or whatever. Because they are sharp. And they do help you climb straight up the tree. This is an interesting item. And Dan told me the name. It's called the Lifeline. Maybe you can explain that.
So this rope here is I attach to myself. I climb up in the tree, and then I tie up high. So if I slip or fall, I won't go all the way to the ground. I won't fall all the way to the ground. So if I fall, it'll help me swing in the tree.
Yeah. How tall a tree do you climb?
I don't know, 50 to 100 feet.
And then the last item, and I'll let you explain that too, is the belt. And if you get it maybe later after we're done, if you want to, like, you know, not try it on, but hold it because it's heavy. That's the belt. We've got a little tool there too, as you like you'll notice.
I won't put it all the way on, but I just step into it, goes around my waist, tie it all up. Goes around my waist like this. I got my little handsaw. That's handy up there. And these little ropes here are flip lines, so when I'm climbing the tree, I can put this around the tree, hook it back to me. As I'm climbing, I can lean back, and it'll help me climb the tree.
That's if there's no limbs on it.
Yeah, right. And, well, I got some other things, carabiners here for hooking things onto, and this rope I don't really use much, but it's called a false crotch rope. So if I get up in the tree and I have to take the top out, and I have no limb I can use to put another rope on to lower branches, I use this false crotch and tie it around the tree. And then I'd have to show you a video or something. I'll try to explain it as best I can. So I put it around the tree, and I use a carabiner, and I tie it into this rope. So then I can use another rope to put through the carabiner, and tie it on to the tree itself, and then I cut it like a 4 foot section of the tree to lower it. So that's the use of the false crotch.
Now he also will pull chainsaws up from the ground and, you know, cut a tree, you know, cut a branch or whatever, then hook the chainsaw to his belt. And he can have chainsaws and different things hanging from the belt. So that's kind of the basic thing for that particular job. And a lot of those same things we use in the woods. So those are his tools of the trade.
Thank you, Dan. Yeah. Do you want to add anything? Or?
If I think of something, I'll...
Okay. So let's transfer this over to us. Instead of us being tree climbers, tree huggers, we are disciples of Christ, which if we're here, we either are or we want to be, and we should be, and we need to be. Let's talk about the spiritual tools of the trade. And I know you know from Ephesians 6, 10 through 20, and I'm going to kind of go through this quickly. We won't put it on the screen, but it says, belt of truth that holds everything together and offers a place to hang things, but still gives you freedom to move, and freedom in relationships, and freedom with the Lord, and freedom of movement. So the belt of truth doesn't tie you down. You still have the freedom, even though you've got all this stuff that you can attach. It represents truth. John Holt talked about that a couple weeks ago. So thoroughly described. In fact, I have his notes, and I have Reggie's notes, and I have Malcolm's notes on the last 3 weeks of information that was given out. So then we have the breastplate of righteousness. And it's not justification obtained, but it's a conversion of conversion, or at conversion, but it's sanctifying righteousness of Christ practiced in our lives. And it protects the chest, and it protects the heart from attacks from the enemy. And again, you can take this physically, you can take it spiritually, because it both, you know, it means both. Then you've got your feet fitted with readiness. That comes from and with the gospel of peace. You've got the shield of faith, and the shield of faith absorbs fiery arrows and protects other parts of the armor and body. Our resolute faith in the Lord can and will stop and extinguish anything that comes our way. Where is Cheryl? We talked the other day about this, but I want to hold on to that for just a second, because you had something you wanted to share that really fit in good. But and then we've got the helmet of salvation. That protects the head, even though it can be very hot, very heavy, but it is especially effective in serious danger. Then we've got the sword of the Spirit. That can be your chainsaw. That can be your little saw that you use to saw off a limb here and there. The sword of the Spirit, that's the only offensive weapon, really, that you have in the armor of God. Mm-hmm. And it's given by the Spirit. It consists of continual prayer and being on the alert. Okay? So, are we all set with the armor of God? That's the basic things that we need to protect ourselves. So, a quick review about armor. Armor protects warriors. Crystal had mentioned that when she... was saying hi to all of us. Warriors, lambs, lions. And it protects warriors while in battle. And I don't know where I heard this, but was it maybe one of the songs? We're really always in battle. Mm-hmm. It's not like there's a respite that you have a break. We're always in some kind of a spiritual battle. There's always stuff coming at us. Armor also is like a layer or a shell. Certain animals have armor. They have a shell, or they have a layer that protects them. And you have armor. Not only do you have the protection, but you have the weapons. And there's emotional. You know, we need to protect our emotions. Social stuff, social defenses that we need to have. Because we're vulnerable without that stuff. Dan climbing those trees without that. I mean, when we were kids, we used to have ropes. My father bought me a climbing rope for Christmas when I was like an early teenager. And the first thing we did, we didn't care about anything else. We went out to the huge elm trees that we used to have, and we're climbing. So I guess it's in the blood, Dan. But we had the rope. You know, we weren't doing anything else but climbing, but we had the rope. But if you're doing anything, whether it be battling, spiritually or working in a workplace or playing, you've got to have protection. Football players have helmets and shoulder pads and shin pads and hip pads and all kinds of different things like that to protect themselves. All believers in Christ are called to put on the complete armor of God. We'll put on the helmet today, and I've done that before, going, oh, I'm just going to cut a little bit of wood. So I'll put the helmet on, protect my ears, it's too late now. Protect my ears and my face. Because how many times have I got a chip in my eye, Oh, it's only going to take a second, and that's where you get hurt sometimes. We'll talk about that later. And we also should put it on with urgency and with permanency. So if it's not on, put it on. I don't know, maybe you can take it off at night and put it on in the morning, or maybe just keep it all on. But we have to be urgent, and we have to be thinking about permanency. The enemy has a lot of strategies that he throws at us, subtle, obvious, that we need to be aware of. So if you take a break, that's when you can get hurt. While at home, while you're at work, while you're playing, while you're sleeping, have it on. And remember, in Ephesians 6:12, I like how it says it, this is no afternoon athletic contest that we will walk away from and forget about in a couple of days. This is for keeps. A life or death fight to the finish against the devil and his agents. And it is far more than you can handle on your own. That's from the message. So there's a myth or a false sense of security, I believe anyway, in my heart, that for a lot of believers and a lot of people who work in different fields, that if we have the armor on, we're all set. Everything's good. We can just go and do whatever we want to do, and we're going to be good. Yes, we're human. We do make mistakes. We have moments of weakness when we may let our guard down. But the goal should be to be alert and ready for attacks at all times. Let me focus for a time now on not that we're protected, but what can happen and what does happen even when we're protected. And that myth is that if we've got it on, we're good. And that's where things happen. Spiritually and physically. I know a guy who was cutting wood one time, covered from head to toe with the armor of God. And last minute, it always happens the last minute. One more cut, one more thing. And he was cutting from up underneath, and the saw went into the bottom of his foot. And I know two people that happened to. And this guy's an experienced guy. He wasn't somebody who'd never done it before. And he almost cut his foot off. Mm-hmm. And when they went to the hospital, they had to take rubber from his boot sole, had to take oil, they had to take wood chips, everything out of his foot before they could fix him up and heal him up. Mm-hmm. So that can happen. Mm-hmm. So this is like kind of a warning for me and for you, that don't get complacent because you've got the armor on. It makes me think of football players. There's a guy, I won't even mention his name because I don't particularly care for the guy, but he got traded to a team and he wouldn't play. That's this year. He won't play until they allow him to use his old helmet. His old helmet is not up to snuff with technology, and it's not illegal. So he won't play until they let him use his helmet. But sometimes those guys are the first ones that will sue the NFL because they get a concussion. The helmet's there, but if you put your head down and hit with your helmet, you're going to get a concussion. You're going to get hurt. And youth hockey and high school hockey, they started making it mandatory that you have cages, not just a helmet, but you had to have cages. And that's a good thing. But what's happening is concussions, high sticking penalties, injuries from getting hit in the head with a stick, hitting the boards with your helmet, those are all up because now we feel like we're protected and we can do things that... Yeah, it will protect you maybe from some things, but you're still vulnerable to get hurt. When I was playing, I used to play with a hat. And I got hit one time with a stick, just nicked right here. I had a root canal. I had an infection. I had a sinus thing. I mean, it's that far from my eye too, right? So my godson said, "I've got a helmet you can wear with a cage." I'm not wearing a helmet with a cage, but I did. And last year I was playing in a game in the instructional kids, and I'm like, "Well, I don't really need this helmet," but I put it on, and one little 6-year-old fell down and whacked me right across the head with that stick. And when you fall down, you know, you're sick about it. Now, that would have looked real good if I was in the ER because a 6-year-old hit me over the head with a hockey stick. But if I hadn't had that stick, that helmet, and that cage, I would have been hurt. So you've got to be positive and alert at all times. Sometimes I think that people who are experienced are the ones that can be more susceptible for injury or attacks. Well, I had a coach one time that told me I don't need to go to any clinics because I know everything there is to know about coaching. You're always learning something.
Yeah.
In the spiritual realm, you better be ready to learn every moment, every day, every life.
Rich. That's the number one thing I see from people who fall off roofs is not the person who never goes up and goes up on a roof, because they are super cautious.
Yeah.
It's always the people who fall off roofs are always the experienced people.
Yeah.
And they say, "I've done that a million times, and that one time I wasn't paying attention." And that's when it happens.
That's all it takes.
Yep.
You get these people now who are falling off cliffs and stuff, taking selfies. I'm not careful. But anyway. So the first thing I want you to remember about this, number one, it's a warning. And number two, it's all about choices that we make in all aspects of our lives, all circumstances. And the second thing, that these warnings are not necessarily in any specific order, like it happens most or you know, whatever, or I think this is more important. They're all important. I've got a homework assignment for you. Read Isaiah 59. The whole chapter. It's like 20-some verses. And it basically talks about warnings. It lays out exactly what I'm going to talk to you about now. What the people were doing to, and it all started with sin. And what they were doing and what the results were. So Isaiah 59, write that down and study that. I'll be talking to you next week about that. What'd you find? Okay, number one. And I've got them all listed here. We get callous, too casual, complacent, comfortable, undisciplined, poor technique. You do certain things 50, 60, 70 feet up in that tree, certain thing. I mean, I'm on the ground. I'm going, I hope he holds on to that. I hope he's got that thing tight. I hope that tree, and then I'm going thinking all these things. But he has to think that stuff through, too. You don't just climb and say, "Well, I guess I'll cut this." Like, what are you going to do now? Well, I think I'm going to, you know, you have to work through a process. So poor technique can cause problems. And again, try to think of this from a spiritual point of view. Not paying attention to detail. You go at it with gusto and forget the possible negative consequences. You just go and do it. I'm not going to think about it. I'm just going to do it. You got to think it through. Sometimes we get lazy. We get sidetracked. We should be focusing on something the Lord wants us to do here, and we're over here. We get sidetracked. We get tired. Lazy and tired. Those are kind of like a couple of different things, but they can be kind of one and the same. You can be fully dressed. You can have all this stuff on, all the armor, everything's checked. It's all good. It's all in good shape. And then we sit on the couch. We don't do anything. Since we are protected by God, we don't have to worry. We can just go and do whatever we want. He's going to protect us. He will, but he might have to deal with some of the consequences after if we don't follow the right things. So Ephesians 5:17 says, "Therefore, do not act foolishly, thoughtlessly, stumbling around. Make sure you know what the master wants." Sometimes we're more careful without the armor than we are with it. When I was in Nebraska with Linda to that wedding there a few years ago that I told you, some of you I told you about, I'm sitting in the living room the day after a tornado hit the area, and there are people working, you know, across the road, cutting branches and stuff. I got sneakers on, shorts, and a t-shirt. That was it. I didn't bring my gear with me to a wedding in Nebraska. So I go out, and the guy that's running the chainsaw does not have a clue what he's doing. And I'm like, and I didn't want to take it away from him because I didn't want to offend him or whatever because he was helping. But finally he said, you know, if you know more about this than I do, because I've never really run a chainsaw before, you can have this chainsaw. So I'm like, okay, but everything I did was specific because I've got no protection anywhere. I didn't even have any ear protection. So I had to do everything very meticulously and, you know, not crazy like I might do if I was fully dressed. Because that could have been dangerous. Okay. First Timothy 5:8. Who's the lucky person?
I have it right here. Okay. If anyone does not provide for his relatives and especially for his immediate family, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever.
So that fits in, you know, being lazy, not being alert, not doing what you're supposed to do. Genesis 2:15.
The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and take care of it.
Well, he put man in the Garden of Eden to work it and take care of it. That's what we have to do, and that's why we have to put our armor on to do that. Titus 3:3-7.
At one time, we too were foolish, disobedient, deceived, and enslaved by all kinds of passions and pleasures. We lived in malice and envy, being hated and hating one another. But when the kindness and the love of our God, our Savior, appeared, he saved us, not because of righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ, our Savior, so that having been justified by his grace, we might become heirs, having the hope of eternal life.
So if he did all that for us, we were once foolish, and now he's come and saved us, then don't we not? I don't mean owe him something, but shouldn't we be a little more careful about what we're doing and have that armor on and be alert and be aware and focus on what he wants us to do? Most of Ephesians 4 talks about that. I mean, if you go and look at Ephesians 4, it talks about all this stuff that we're talking about right now. Sometimes we can hide behind the armor, like t-shirts. I've got my fish on the back of my bumper. I've got my shirt on that says this, or I've got my hat that says this. And we can hide behind that, but not really show it. And it can be the same way with the armor. We can have the armor on, but hide behind it, not do anything. And we got armor on to do something. So we can get deceived, add to the list, distracted, divided, confused. We can turn our back on, we can wear the armor and turn our back on God, and guess what we get back here? Nothing. There's no protection back there. And then that's where, I'm not sure if I'm going to talk about this now or later, but that's where you need help. I mean, even putting it on, it's nice to have help in putting it on. And then protecting each other. I know, like, I think it's mules and donkeys and stuff, when they get attacked by the enemy, they all face in and they kick like crazy. And they can kill you with a kick. So their backs are sort of vulnerable, but together they can keep the enemy away. We can let our guard down again. I got all the stuff, so I can just go and do whatever I'm going to do and not think about that. You know, they have things called widowmakers. I'll tell you right now, this is very helpful. But if you have half a tree coming straight down and hit you on the head, you're dead. to be all seriously hurt, like somebody we know who got hit with it. We don't make it, but it didn't kill him. But it almost killed him. So even though you've got this on, this is not the ultimate thing. This is not going to be the total protection for your life. You still have to be aware of what's going on around you. The same thing with this. You think the chainsaw is going to stop that? No, but it'll prevent chips from getting into your eyes. But it won't stop the chainsaw. Let's see. So we can let our guard down. We can have no vision. We got the armor on, but we're not sure why we've got it on. We're not sure where we're going with it. Or why, you know. I mean, it looks good and everything, but we don't have a vision about what God wants us to do. We have no dreams. No plans. Or maybe we have too many plans. That some of them may be our own. God wants us to do this, and we want to do this instead of what he wants us to do. And it kind of makes you think of, the tree work. You can't cut the tree down. Like, there was one place where he was working. The tree was this far from a guy's house. It was a pretty big spruce, I think. And it was this far from the power lines. And there was no place to follow it. So you can't just go in and notch it and drop it. You have to go up and start at the top and work one branch at it. I think you lowered every branch in that tree, right? And then they had to cut it in chunks and lower it. So you got to kind of look and say, okay, how am I going to do this? Not just, well, let's go cut the tree down. Meanwhile, the house falls in, the telephone lines and the power lines get in. He did another job one time where Eversource came in that actually had to take the lines down because the tree was so huge. There was no way that you could get it down. So you got to have a plan. You got to have a plan in your life. What's God have for you? As I said, you can have too many plans and too many ministries. We're fixing everything and helping everybody, and maybe he wants us to do this. Okay, you ready for some more scriptures here? Ephesians 4, 14, 5, 5 and 6.
5 and 6 or 6 and 7. Okay, 4:14 anyway, is that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of the sinful plotting.
So not to be taught, not to be, we're not children anymore. We're adults and we need to act that way. Don't be, somebody says something, you go, oh, well, that's nice, let's go. And find out if it's true. Don't be swayed by all these different doctrines. And then the 5, 6, and 7?
6 and 7. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not be partakers with them.
Okay. Revelation 12:9.
The great dragon was hurled down, that ancient serpent called the devil or Satan, who leads the whole world astray. He was hurled to the earth, and his angels with him.
Can you read that one more time?
The great dragon was hurled down, that ancient serpent called the devil or Satan, who leads the whole world astray. He was hurled to the earth, and his angels with him.
So his job is to lead the whole world astray. Well, we shouldn't be in that whole world thing. We should not be led astray by the enemy. 1 Corinthians 15:33.
Do not be misled. Bad company corrupts good character.
So don't be misled. Just because someone's doing something that seems good, even if you've got the armor on, you can still go there and have problems because of that. 1 Thessalonians 2:2-3.
We had previously suffered and been insulted in Philippi, as you know, but with the help of our God, we dare to tell you his gospel in spite of strong opposition. For the appeal we make does not spring from error or impure motives, nor are we trying to trick you.
Okay. Stay focused. Stay steady. Again, we fall for religious smooth talk, for a good sales pitch, false doctrine, always hang around with the wrong crowd. No, we need to be ministering to the lost, but we don't spend all of our free time with them. We need to be in groups like this to get built up and encouraged to go out there with the armor on to minister to those type of people. Negative things can creep in, and they do it subtly, and they can destroy from within. We can have, as individuals and as a body, we can have our armor on, but little things can come in. Not everything is covered. I don't have like forearm pads, or I don't have, there's a space between the my boots and my chaps. Maybe I need them a little longer, but there's a little space there where I can actually get my ankles. I should have higher boots or whatever. So even if you have it all on, you still can have a few things that aren't quite right. Like when I hurt my knee, it was because I had a new pair of pants that were too short. When my knee went up, the pad slid up over my knee, and my knee went into the ground and the rocks, and I had a contusion. If I had the right pants on, the right size, it wouldn't happen. Lack of obedience. The Lord's saying, go do this. We've got the armor on, and we're ready, but we don't do it. Or we do something that He doesn't want us to do. We follow man, not God. And Malcolm talked about that a few weeks ago, the kingdom of God versus the kingdom of man. That battle is always going on. Not us, but some people can get stubborn. I'm not doing that. I'm ready, but I'm dressed for it, but I'm not doing that, God. Lack of obedience, instead of fallen man, stubborn. Jeremiah 7:23-24 talks about that a little bit.
But I gave them this command, obey me, and I will be your God, as you will be my people. Walk in obedience to all I command you, that it may go well with you. But they did not listen or pay attention. Instead, they followed the stubborn inclinations of their evil hearts. They went backward and not forward.
Mm-hmm. Did everyone hear that? 1 Samuel 15:22-23. Thank you, by the way, for all you volunteers, because I forced you against the wall.
What was the scripture against you?
1 Samuel 15:22. Reggie, I had a sheet for you that I should have given you.
But Samuel replied, does the Lord delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as much as in obeying the Lord? Mm-hmm. To obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed is better than the fat of lambs.
To obey is better than sacrifice. Now, if you're doing it, so you make the sacrifice, and you're like, I'm good now, I can... Now, to obey him is better than just putting something on the altar and then leaving. Isolation. I talked to some people yesterday, and I casually mentioned to them about today. I said, why don't you come by? We're going to talk about the armor of God. And these people are kind of like people who, and we have great discussions about Scripture. And they said, no, I find God in the woods. I said, so do I. I find God sitting on my tractor. But you still need to fellowship with other people and communicate with other people and glean things from other people. Talking about isolation, I don't think that Dan goes up any tree unless he's got somebody on the ground. It's either me or Luke or Ethan or a couple of kids that he hires for accountability. And even putting the armor on. I can't tie behind my back. Some people can do that. So I either have to spin the chaps around and hook it, or I get someone to do it for me. So you need help. And Cheryl, you had something you shared with me Tuesday night about that, about the show that you watched there.
I was talking about the old movie, The Gladiator. That was...
Yeah, the gladiators. Remember that?
Gladiators, and they had to go into war, and there was a lot less of them than the enemies, and they had
decide how they could win. And so if they fought individually, they would fall. But if they worked together, they would stand. So mm-hmm. they locked their arms and their shields to protect themselves and went into battle together and won.
Yeah. Isolation only leaves you vulnerable for attacks. And he doesn't have to use, the enemy doesn't have to use his full force to do that when you're alone. He needs more power when there's a bunch of people together, but alone you can be susceptible.
Yeah. To join in on Cheryl's conversation, in the 300, Leonidas and them fought the same way, but not having the shield in the back, that little backstabber came in and backstabbed Leonidas, and it made them awful.
Yeah. So that's where the extra people can come in, because you can, get your backside.
Yeah.
Check your backside. I had a boss one time who told me I was the type of guy he wanted having his back. And that's how we want to be. Right? We want to say, hey, these people here, they've got my back. Maybe you see something that's like, one time Dan was doing something in the tree. I said, well, what about, watch out for that? Oh, I didn't even notice that, watch out for that. So, Cheryl?
When I had a job working for Bank of America, I worked in the environmental services, and one of our rules is the front of the house, the back of the house, to make the front of the house as good as, make the back of the house as good as the front of the house.
It's kind of like coming into the house and, like I talked about before, all the rooms are open, the house is yours, the bathrooms, the bedrooms, the kitchen, everything, the living room, stay out of that room. Because we want to hide something in there. So isolation, again, self-centeredness, busy, do it on your own. You have no protection or vision of what's behind, so you need help. And that's where there's some references to that in 1 Corinthians 12:14.
Now the body is not made up of one part, but of many.
Many. Look at your body. It's not made up of just one thing. And it says, it continues and says, if you're all eyes, that's not good. If you're all ears or all feet, that's not good. But Proverbs 18:1.
Unfriendly people care only about themselves. They lash out out of common sense.
Only caring about themselves. And what do? They lash out?
They lash out at common sense.
Ah, common sense. That's helpful, too. Mm-hmm. Luke 11:17. Did I give that out to anybody? They didn't do that. Get that, Reg?
I have it.
Somebody has it? Oh, yep. Tal has it. Okay.
He knew their thoughts, so he said, any kingdom divided by civil war is doomed. A family splintered by feuding will fall apart.
Yeah. I was talking to somebody last night at Melinda's class reunion, and we were talking about a family, and I said, so how are they doing? Well, I don't know. They're not talking. They haven't talked to each other for like 5 years. So that's how the family breaks down. That's how the body of Christ breaks down. That's how we break down when we're dividing because I'm mad at somebody because they offended me or whatever. Work it out and start with that kind of stuff. Okay, here's another one. Being fearful or having no fear can both be a detriment to our walk with Christ, even with the armor. Fearful is, I don't want to go there, I don't want to do that because I could get hurt, this could happen. Or I don't want to venture into that area spiritually because it might take me out of my comfort zone, I might have to move out of my seat that I really like. Or that tree could come down and go on the house. Well, we're going to have to figure out a way to do it so it doesn't. Fear can freeze you.
Yes.
You have that thing on your book bag there about fear. Is that the one?
For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and sound mind. 2 Timothy 1:7.
Yeah. So, with the armor, we should be less fearful. But no fear, it can be just as bad. Mm-hmm. I've got this on, so now I can go and I can climb that tree that halfway up is rotten. I'm going to climb to the top and you have to think about the negative consequences. I've seen people go. I think that's part of the problem with our society now. Sometimes with young people, is they don't have a healthy fear of things, so they just go do it and then they get hurt. You have to have a healthy fear, but no fear can cause all kinds of trouble. Either you don't want to move, or you can't move, or you're frozen and so afraid to take even calculated risks. You can do it. You're not going to get hurt if you walk from here to the other side of the room. I had a boss one time said, "We can't do that. Somebody might get hurt." You could get hurt sitting in your chair. Let's take a chance. It's calculated. It's a calculated risk. We're not going to die walking from here to there. I'm exaggerating a little bit, but that's kind of how I felt about the guy. The other side of that is, as I said, go all out. You don't look at things. You don't think about things. You just go all out. And you take that chainsaw and put it in the trigger, open it up as fast as you can and just cut that tree down as fast as you can. You got to be careful. That tree snaps back, or the limb snaps back or whatever.
These particular saws
are all made for safety. Okay, right now it's idle. If I do this, nothing happens. I have to push this down. So that's a calculated thing. I can't stop this thing until I'm ready, because otherwise you could go like that and you next thing you want to cut your leg. So you push this little thing here and it works. And then this one doesn't have it, but it has a, what do they call it?
Chain break.
I can't hear you.
Chain break.
I know that. So you push it down and it can't move, because the old chainsaws had, I should have brought my big yellow one. So you can't be walking along and have it you catch on a branch or something, because the chain lock is on it. So
the EPA has done some good things with safety.
Take shortcuts. We'll go this way instead of this way. In Pilgrim's Progress, he kind of did that, except they weren't really shortcuts. They ended up being long cuts because of the trouble he got into. But don't take shortcuts. Go the way he wants you to go. Shortcuts can risk the future. You think it's going to get you there quicker, but it can actually risk. You might not get there at all. Not teachable. What do you mean? I don't need to put that stuff on. I mean, my father cut wood until he was 81 years old. And he never got hurt. Never. He never wore anything either. Just his regular stuff. He never had ear protection. They didn't have ear protection back then. And then you wonder why when you get to be my age you can't hear anything. He didn't need it. In fact, when he later in his life he said, "Dad, why don't you put the chaps on? Don't need them, because I'm going to be careful. I'm going to be so." But not being teachable, those things are stupid. They have no purpose. I mean, they're just blatant things. Why don't you try? I mean, I had to go through that. I mean, from a physical point of view, the spiritual also, I had to learn things spiritually. It's okay to put them on. Well, it looks foolish wearing a helmet with a cage. Well, it looks a lot better than having your eye knocked out what's his name for the Bruins there?
Chara.
Yeah, he took a puck off the face and broke his jaw and knocked out a few teeth, and 2 days later he was playing. Those guys don't have cages. They have just a little and a shield like this. What's the purpose of that? Standing there, somebody taking a 150-mile-an-hour slap shot at you.
And in order for him to get back on the ice, they made him wear a shield.
Oh yeah, he had to wear
those. Because he was playing with John.
So it's reactive rather than proactive.
Right.
Oh, that happened to me. I had to be I guess I got to put the cage on to save my face or whatever. Sometimes that stuff can be heavy. I mean, if you get a chance to come up and test this, it's heavy.
Or hot.
and hot, cumbersome. I mean, just this probably is 30 pounds. I grabbed this rope to put it in the bag, and I'm like, he hooks that to his belt and carries it up. It's like when you were doing the Eastern Communication, you had like 50 pounds of stuff on. So you add 50, 60 pounds, that's uncomfortable. It can be cumbersome. It can be, ill-fitting. Yeah, it doesn't feel right, you know. Too complicated. Now, because everything is technologically advanced, like the chainsaws and different things, but you can still get hurt. Discouraged. I've got the armor on, everything should be going good. Well, the armor is there to protect you, but also it can help you get through stuff. Don't let circumstances dictate how you're going to respond. We all are going to go through battles every day. And you can get discouraged, or you can keep going. Wrong focus. I saw a thing the other day. There was a picture of a paper, a nice white piece of paper with a red dot in the middle of it. And the only thing people could focus on was the red dot. And they associated that with a negative, something negative. Well, there's a nice white picture there too, you know. You can be out in the outside, you can be fearful of the dark, and you're not even thinking about the moon and the stars, and, you know. So we focus on the wrong thing. We focus on the negative instead of focusing on the positive. Romans 13:12. I think I had someone that has that name.
Eric.
Yeah, Eric.
The night is far gone. The day is at hand. So then let us cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light.
So it's not just the armor of stuff. It's the armor of light. The darkness is gone. The other night, it was like, I don't know if anyone does this, but from 1 to 3 sometimes a.m., I can't sleep. And so the other night I get up and I could like count sheep or sing a song or go check the sports scores or whatever, but I get up and started working on, not started, but continued to work on this thing for 2 hours. And I was focusing on the good stuff, because when you 1 to 3 is supposed to be like susceptible to the enemy's attacks or whatever, it's dark and it's the middle of the night, and so you can do that, or you can get up and do something positive. You might be in a battle that you shouldn't be in. Again, we talked about that a little bit, but, wrong focus. So I'm in this battle. I think this is a battle I need to fight. Maybe you don't need to fight that battle. Maybe he'll fight it for you or someone else, or you need to fight this one. Maybe you need to have some R. I mean, it is okay to have R and R, right? I'd like to think maybe right now we're having a little R and R. You might be seeking, okay, this is from Francis Frangipane in the House of the Lord study that we're doing on Tuesday. He says, you might be seeking God in comfortable places and convenient times, only when it's nice and good, and not when it's trial and tribulation. So Jesus becomes a history lesson, just a history lesson. Not a man who died for our sins, who's sent the comforter to us. And then it says, sometimes we just focus on him like a study of God or Jesus and what he did. And Pat, remember I gave a message a few weeks ago about that. And not what would Jesus do, but what did Jesus do. And that's what we should be doing. Watch out for the sword too. The sword is an offensive weapon, but this thing here, is not a nice little thing. It's nice for cutting a branch that you want to get out of your way, but it's not very nice for cutting skin. The chainsaw, this thing here, is designed to rip wood. This is designed to rip wood.
And I saw a guy when I was working for Brown Company back in the 60s, scaling logs. The saw jumped back at him, and the first thing he did was put his hand up. And the saw basically cut it down. I didn't cut his hand off, it ripped his hand off. Not completely, but almost. So this thing can do some really serious damage. So you know, just because we've got the sword of the spirit doesn't mean that we can go around swinging it like, you know, out of control. It makes me think of people who stick the Bible in your face and tell you you need to follow the gospel. You know, you can do that without doing that. You can share and, you know, build a relationship with them, and then show them who Christ is by the way you act and the things you say and the things you do. But the sword of the spirit, you use it in the wrong way, it can damage yourself and it can damage other people. Everybody doing okay? I don't want, when Malcolm asked that question, I don't know. It's like, are we all honest? Everyone doing okay?
Yeah.
I'm almost done. Okay.
Steve.
Yes.
I was thinking when you picked up that heavy blue rope.
Yeah.
You know, and Dan would put it on one side. Well, that you're kind of. So balance is really important.
Yes.
As far as knowing how to compensate with in situations.
Right.
So
adjustments.
Yeah.
That's a good point. Yeah. In fact, you know, we could probably add to this list. And if I asked for, you know, let's add to what we can do to harm ourselves with the armor on, you could probably give me some more things. But I really want to. I'll kind of finish up by focusing on things that we can do. I do want to say this. There are things we can do, and I say do, you know, it makes it sound like a work thing. There are things, choices we can make and things we can do to avoid being susceptible to the attacks of the enemy. Yes, we're going to be attacked, but we can do things to avoid or be less susceptible to the attacks, and they will come. Be alert and pay attention. Be always on guard. As Malcolm just said, be steady. You know, things are going to happen, or you're in a tree or whatever, and you know the wind picks up. You might have to climb back down and wait for a better day. You need to be clear-headed. Have a spirit-led plan and vision. Not a person self-led plan and vision. Sometimes you do have to step back and you have to take a look at the big picture before reacting. Do not be deceived. Search and confirm the winds of doctrine. Test the spirits. Those are all scriptural things that we're called to do. Mm-hmm. Have eyes and ears open. Allow your heart to be, you know, pliable. Is that the word I want? Open to understanding and live righteously to the best of your ability. You put the armor of God on, put your shirt on, put your hat on, put your bumper sticker on, you know, and then don't show Christ. You're wasting your time. It says be teachable. There's no one, there shouldn't be anyone in this building right now or any Christian in this world who isn't teachable, wanting to learn something new. Put on, you know, put and keep it on. Oh, it's too heavy, I'm too tired. Put it on and keep it on. Help, you know, have someone come along. I remember going to a conference one time with 5,000 men. This was a smaller one in Rhode Island. And they had the elders come up to the front, and I went up. And they had us put our hands up. And then they had the guys that came with us to come down with us and hold our hands up. Because we were starting to get weak. And you know, we need to have people to come alongside you, even with the armor on, to help you. Let it protect you as God has designed it to protect you. Check it regularly for, you know, if that lifeline has a tear in it, it's worthless. So check it and make sure that your armor has, you know, it's all there. There's not a strap missing or something missing. Be serious about the job ahead, but also slow down. Smell the roses, have a good laugh. It's not all, you know, we got to be on guard all the time and all
tensed up and everything. Enjoy the victories. Enjoy the positive moments. Labor not in vain. Do not go it alone. So others can come along, like I said, and provide accountability and extra protection. Where two or more are gathered, there he is, if you're gathered in his name. The quality of our work is more important than the quantity. Put your complete trust in Him, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, not in man or church or building or people. I think Dwayne Stiles mentioned that in his message. Don't put your trust in me who's bringing you the Word. Put your trust in Him who is the Word. Your emotions, sometimes emotions, we have emotions, we're human. And they're good. But sometimes we can let our emotions, or even the various gifts we have, control us. And I've seen it over the years, Christians get all high because things are going great, then they get all low because things aren't going good. You gotta be steady. Take captive all thoughts. No outside distractions. We don't have those anymore. And get your focus on the right place and the right battle. Laugh. Build your house on a firm foundation. I was riding my bike this morning to kind of calm me down a little bit, and it came to me and said, learn. Always be willing to learn and practice what you learn. And then the scripture says, I think it's Proverbs, says something about, turn your ears to wisdom, pay attention to understanding, cry out for insight, and keep on the song they had, keep on keeping on. That was Toby Mack. Okay, to finish up, did I give someone Ephesians 5, 15 to 20? Mrs. Wonecker, would you please read that loud?
Certainly, Mr. Menlin. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not be drunk with wine, which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Nice, thank you. And even though we may be in evil times and things look awful, bad politically and the climate and all the other things, we can't focus on the red dot. We've got to focus on the good and the positive and be that light. And then the final one would be Colossians 3. And again, if you're taking notes, Colossians 3, the whole chapter is awesome. But I want to focus on 16 and 17. Right. Let this be the prayer that we leave with today.
Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns, spiritual songs, with thankfulness in your heart to God. And whatever you do, in the word of deed, do everything in the name of Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father through Him.
Okay. Thank you. All right. The last thing I want to do before Reggie finishes up with a song and whatever he's going to do after. But does anybody have any thought? I like to just thank you. I didn't ask for it as much as I usually do. Does anyone have any thoughts or scriptures or testimonies of what we're talking about?
Okay. This page of my notes today. The scripture for this page is Isaiah 40:29. He gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, he increases strength.
You don't hear that?
That's supposed to be the page I'm taking notes on.
Nice. Oh.
What I want to share is 36 years ago, we moved to Berlin and started a business. And the shirt for Walter was a Norseman. And he had a helmet on, and he had a breastplate, and he had a sword up, and he had sandals on his feet, and mice, and we really had battles, and we still do. It's okay. It's okay, Daddy.
My sister Becky told me, Crit, look at the stinking thing you got on your shirt. No wonder you're getting attacked. That's the armor of God right there. And I looked at that and I'm like, I was so... It took her to show me that. We never really realized. It was a Norseman. Nordic, you know?
Yeah, right.
But that, over 36 years, has never left us.
Yeah.
Sometimes we let our armor lay on the living room floor to work and wonder.
Or it's on a, what's the word I want? On the mantle for a second. I can't think of the word where the guy's covered with iron and he's standing. What's that called?
The night.
He's there, but there's nothing in there. It's like when I was in the eighth grade, Russell Nolan was our teacher, and we started a little athletic program, and our mascot was West Mile Chargers. And we had all the armor and a big long spike or whatever, and the thing that you swing, and we were on a horse. So, anybody else? Cheryl?
Deuteronomy 31:8.
It says, the Lord himself will go before you.
We put it on and just follow him, right? Yep. Good.
Or he'll deck the mass. Make sure it's okay.
Right, yeah. Chris?
There are safety regulations, not necessarily by OSHA, but they're adopted by companies, and it's called fall protection. Now, each man is responsible for maintaining his harness.
Yeah.
The harness is labeled for him only, and it's not appropriate or legal to take somebody else's harness and use it on you. So you have total responsibility to make sure that you're protected for falls. So it's up to you to maintain your equipment so you don't fall.
That's right.
He's got that accent. It's just like, I think it'd be cool. Maybe Ronnie can practice it for next week. That's great. Great stuff. Birthdays in August. Who's got a birthday in August? I know two people that have birthdays in August.
Ray does.
Who does?
Yeah, Ray does.
So does in Carol and so does in Haley. So, anybody else? Anybody else? Birthdays in August?
How can you point to Kevin?
Yeah, hers was on the 4th.
I've already been humiliated.
It's in August, though, isn't it?
Yes.
That's right. I forgot they did specifically for you.
Yes.
Yeah, special that way. All right, well, we'll still sing to you again. Anybody else? Birthdays in August? Nope. Oh, I get a finger pointing here.
Oh, yeah.
We'll sing to all four of you then. All right, or five with the baby. Any anniversaries? No? All right. Great. So some things to think about. Who remembers the homework assignment? Isaiah. Who's got it? What is it?
Isaiah
59. Who needs help at a cafe? Vicky does. So anybody wants to help out Wednesdays? 2:30 to 5? Anything else?
Who's got their arm?
Who's got their arm on? And who's going to go out there and do it? All right. Have a great week.
Thank you.
yum, yum, yum.
Because I guess they figured when the life preservers were that color, sharks were trying to.
There you go.